I'm kind of waiting. Arrow. I'm waiting for him to try and do a spinoff of Flash. Because they set
it's
it
coming.
Up. They set it
it's
up.
It's coming.
And I want to see if it's going to be
I've already seen pics of the show. Yeah. So it's in production.
Yeah, I want to... Well, they used the Arrow to kind of spin that off.
Yep.
And the Arrow has been actually very interesting because now they've reintroduced Slade.
Oh, I've got so many messages. Just kidding. What? I know, that's... These names, though. And then, like, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hiddleston. What's up with these names?
Hugo.
Yeah, I remember him in Hugo, but
Capaldi?
I didn't realize that was his name.
Neither did I. So I just looked it up and went, okay, yeah, he's there. Messed up. Poor kid.
This is Preston Patterson, creator and writer of New Generation Firstborn Suki, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Welcome to another edition of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
and Logan.
And today we're going to be looking at Lisa Hennigan's album Passenger and the movie Ender's Game. And we're going to take a very short pause for Dodge City Public Library. And when we come back, we'll begin with Ender's Game.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
Our first one coming up is going to be Ender's Game, and Matt, we'll let you take it away, sir.
Okay, Ender's Game, which is based on, it's a novel, right? Novel, Ender's Game? I thought it was a novel.
It's a book.
And I say based on, it's not an exact,
it's loosely
no movie.
Interpreted.
Actually, it's...
I wouldn't even call this one loosely. I mean, a lot of other...
Less?
It's got the
like
right
it's its
setting.
Own story almost, like iRobot?
No, it's...
It's got the right setting and general timeline. That much is right.
It's got a lot more than that. There's quite a bit in the movie that is right from the book. But again, it's a movie. You have to adjust it. It's nothing far-fetched as iRobot.
It's like the Hunger Games books.
Yeah, they have to change stuff to make it fit into a movie.
Right.
But if you want to know what it's about, we've done in the past, I think Richard's looking it up, a certain episode quite a while ago. Man, you may have to go back a ways to find it. Wow. But we did review Ender's Game, the novel. If you really want to know what the movie's about, this will be more about how the characters were in the movie and things like that. But until Richard finds that, he's looking really
hard.
Yeah,
I'm looking, so give me a moment.
Oh, dang on it. I hit a button. I think that's how you say this. Asa Butterfield. And if I say his name wrong, I am sorry. He plays Ender Wiggin, and Harrison Ford plays Colonel Graf. They're kind of the main characters in the story.
Right.
Really the ones that portray. I mean, it is called Ender's Game.
And in the story, Graf is always talking to somebody, but they never really introduce them in the novel. But in the movie, you actually get to see the person.
Well, yeah, it's like he's talking to higher ups. I'm guessing more of a general, like a council, if you want to say. I think the character who plays Ender is, you know, he's kind of a scrawny little kid.
He's got a big head.
He's very smart. Wow, April, come on, go and dig yourself out of that hole.
No, I didn't mean he was big head. It's an observation. It's not in a bad way. But
okay.
It's not, God, it's not like Megamind big. It's just.
But as the way is, I saw Ender in the book and kind of how they described him. Granted, I think he's supposed to be about 11 in the movie.
Oh, in the movie.
In the movie.
Okay, yeah.
In the movie, he's supposed to be that 10, 11
Pissed
year
me
old.
Off so much.
We're in the book, he's quite a bit younger.
He's six at the beginning, and at the end, I think he's 8.
Yeah.
He's as old as he gets.
Right. And I'm wondering if they weren't trying to make him a little bit younger in the book,
for the tweens and stuff, so appeal to older audience for the kids, because if he's 6 years old, will teens really get into it?
Probably not.
Well, I kind of saw it as the people watching this movie are going to accept a person his age doing this before they're going to accept a six-year-old.
Right.
I have a question. Did they say he was 11 in the movie?
They never portrayed him. Unless he's a giant six-year-old.
here's the thing. They did the same thing with Harry Potter, okay? He was supposed to be really young in that movie, too.
And he wasn't.
Because they couldn't find an actor that looked exactly, that was a twin that was 2 years younger.
Yeah.
You know, they would have had to clone a person for that.
Exactly.
So this is how they did the best they could to find a young enough actor that portrayed the best attitude
that
Ender
does.
Right.
So,
and
give him a break.
I think what Ender's described as, you know, in the book, this person fits that character very well.
I did like the actor, yeah.
I think Harrison Ford was a very good fit for Colonel Graf.
Yeah, he did good.
And I did like Ender. Like I said earlier, I don't know if we were recording. I liked how even just his body language was not just the looks of him, but how he acted. Was really good.
You know, that's what I said. I think they tried to portray the movie as close to the book as they could.
Yeah.
If you don't want to read the book and you just kind of want to know what happens, watch the movie.
No, watch the movie first, then read the book.
To fill in. And
that way you don't ruin the movie for yourself. Like April is going to portray this whole podcast.
Well,
I'm going to kill you.
That's it. It's been a long time since we read Ender's Game, but they do about as good a job as I think they can. It's still a very good movie. It hits the highlights of all the stuff that happens and how they portray Ender.
And it gave you enough detail so that you're not going, huh?
Yeah.
Not like in the last Harry Potter book. You know, the last Harry Potter book and the last Harry Potter movie, there were some inaccuracies. But with Ender's Game, they gave you a little bit more detail to leave you a little bit more satisfied and less questions.
Well, yeah, and don't be turned off, because the first probably, I would say, good 30 to 45 minutes of the movie, there's not the action. It's that character building.
Right.
Kind of boring, and you're kind of going, okay. But you know, if you've read the book, you know what's coming, so you're still going to go,
But if somebody hasn't read the book, they're going to be able to watch this and not, like I said, have too many questions.
Right.
They're not going to know they're missing anything.
Right. You're going to know why they're using Ender and why they're using young children.
Honestly.
And things that they explain that. They do explain that in the movie.
What?
They don't explain.
They do. Someone calls him a third, and then it's like in one sentence they describe that it's genetic manipulation
to
kids.
Right. But we still had to explain that to Michelle a little bit.
Okay.
Because they had to say, she was like, well, what's the big deal? And then April and I, Logan, had to, you know, pause and say, well, this is, you know, Valentine's one degree, Peter's the other degree. They needed somebody in the
movie. Yeah, I think.
I got a question about the movie. Go ahead.
I think when they did that whole third thing. They gave off the feeling that a third wasn't a good thing, but they never actually went into why or what a third is.
Right.
Right.
In the book, did they portray Ender's father as a Russian? Because he's a Russian in the movie.
Oh, man. I do not remember.
Yeah, that was another... Too long ago. I don't remember what ethnicity... But
I thought that was an awesome idea.
That was another thing I was a little disappointed in.
I don't know if the book ever mentioned... Yeah, there
are two different ethnicities his parents are.
Yeah.
But, and that was another thing I was disappointed in when they brought, and I know this isn't realistic to put in that whole religion aspects of it that the book had into the movie, but I always thought that was really cool with the religion. You have to give up a religion or secretly have your religion because of the differences and
right.
everything.
There were, I said,
this will tell you how long it's been since we've read the book.
For sure.
If you want to go back and listen to the review of the book, it was episode 17.
Holy cow.
It's the title of that episode. Episode was It's the Drama. This was back in May of 2012.
So almost exactly two years.
Almost.
Wow.
Hey, I've just read it recently, so thank you. I threw my eraser on accident. Mm-hmm. So Matt had to get it for me.
So that'll explain why some of the details are a little fuzzy.
The details of the book are a little fuzzy.
But, you know, not only that, but Ender's dad was also in the military.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, see, they...
I think they hinted to that in the book.
I think in... I don't know the whole series of it, but I think he was actually a fighter pilot.
Maybe.
I think. Don't quote me on that. I was trying to talk with a friend about this because he wanted to see the movie, and after he saw the movie, he was like, oh, I got to read the books. And I'm like, you realize there's like 16 of them? And he went, huh? And I went, yeah, it's a whole series of these.
Just a plug with our mini pops. We'll try to kind of circulate other books of that series into the mini
hopefully,
pops eventually. So.
I enjoyed the book. It's a little slow and kind of like the movie starts out a little slow but builds a little bit better, you know, to the end of the movie. I enjoyed it. I think you should watch it. I think you'll like the characters. It'll give you a good grasp of the characters. There's a couple scenes, you know, where you really get into Ender's head almost and realize that he is... when he's playing the computer game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unwinnable computer game, more or less.
Right.
And that was cool. Psyche. I liked how
that's when
did
you
that.
Really get. That's when you really get into his psyche of how he was kind of the genetic manipulation has affected him in the way he thinks. I got that from that, but that's also from reading the book and watching the movie. But
and
I liked the very end where he's controlling the actual battalion that's out there. The part where he's going through all this stuff all at the same time given his I'm going to call him underlings orders. He's doing it
all
at
his
such
little
a,
like
he's doing
flying
it
flying monkeys
so fast, you know, yeah. That it's almost hard to keep up with in the movie.
True. It is.
Yeah,
and even if you want to take the movie into the special effects and the graphics that they did, they're awesome.
I think it was really cool what they did.
They did a really good job at, you know, trying to portray a space battle
futuristic.
And kind of futuristic in what happened in the book.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
And the
into graphics.
Mind games, too.
Yeah, the mind games was my favorite graphics because that stuff was really cool, like the animations for it.
They did good. I think it's a very good movie. You know, I think it ought to be very popular.
Well, my
anyway,
thing was,
that you should have it.
It's not the little things that bother me because, yeah, I might be grumpy over them and I might complain. But
she
does. But I'll get over it and I'll deal with it. But it's just there was a couple big things that I just couldn't get over because it changed a lot. Whose heart is beating? Die. It's annoying me. No, I'm. What is that sound, though? What is that sound?
Of course, no one's doing nothing now.
I'm serious. It really freaked me out.
You're hearing things.
You're hearing things.
Like, it reminds me like that heart in the Telltale Heart. It's kind of like it was. Chris, you kill someone?
If you're the only one hearing it, then it was not me.
It's buried underneath your chair. But yeah, I understand.
Wow.
There's some things that they cut out and had to change, but I don't think it takes away from the understanding.
Two main points that really bothered me, but if you're just watching a movie, it's not going to, was Bean when he was introduced, because in the movie he is introduced a lot faster. And when they go to command school, it's in a completely different place than what it is in the book.
And I got so mad about that, too.
So they did that to make it quicker for the ending of the book. If everybody remembers how that ended.
Yeah.
Because I definitely don't want to give that away. And so they almost too neat and tidy of an ending for the movie. Because it kind of... But for the book, it was drawn out and how it was described.
Well, so. you got to remember that the battle at the end, if you want to say, the battle is the hype.
Right.
And then it's the building down, same way in the book. But it was quite a bit longer in the book.
My thing with Command School, I wasn't too distraught over where it was at, but just the Command School itself. Because in the book, Ender doesn't go to Command School and automatically get his team and start simulate and go in with
the fleet.
Whatever's new. Yeah, he actually goes to school with the older boys for a while because he would always play their games with them. He'd always.
Yeah.
And that's what I missed.
Cut out that.
And they sped up both schools.
And I know they did it for
They
did it for the time's purpose and everything, but you know, I was still disappointed in
that. It's still, to be honest with you, this was still an hour and 30 some minute long movie. Sure.
That's not too bad though. I mean, it wasn't now.
it wasn't, but I mean, if you would have tried to put that much more into it, you'd have been a 2.5 hour long movie easily.
I would have watched it.
I probably would have, but ninety minute movie is about normal, and that's probably why they cut out that. But you still got the gist of what's happening, and it didn't take away from anything.
Yeah. I almost cried twice in that movie.
In Ender's Game?
No.
Yep.
What?
Okay, the ending. Why? Fleet. What was the other one?
I'm not going to tell you. It gives away the ending.
What?
Oh, okay. The very ending.
You almost cried. Why?
It was.
He's a sensitive guy.
Happy.
He's it a sensitive sad. Guy, man.
First, I felt, and you know, I kind of felt for the guy.
That was sad. Yeah.
And then the very end was the other place.
Yeah, it is a sad ending. And
is the next
book Ender in Exile?
I got
is
you.
Is that how the order goes, or is there a book in between that? And then
I don't know. Ask Logan.
Not sure.
I don't know.
Logan, what's the book after Ender's Game?
There's one that's tied together. It was Ender Shadow, actually.
Yeah, it's a book.
So that's a parallel timeline.
It's a parallel with, and it's about
Bean.
Yeah, and
from his point.
And that's where me and Logan got into a bit of a grump because I was like, Bean did not come in that early, and Logan was like, he was there, but he was talking about the Shadow book, whatever, and I was talking about Ender's Game, and that's why I don't mind the thought of Bean being there. Being there. But I mind the idea that they brought him into the forefront because they didn't do that for Ender's Game for the book.
Because he brings him in a little early, but that's
take
all
a
right.
pause.
There's a prequel to Speaker of the Dead, Ender in Exile.
Okay.
So
is that the next one? Next book in?
No, Ender's Shadow is the next one.
Okay.
Ender's Shadow is the same time.
Right, but it was the next book in the series. But
what's the one after Ender's Shadow?
Actually, no, there are two completely different series in the same series.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ender series and Shadow Saga. There's also the Formic Wars.
This is why I'm not reading all
of Ender series
books.
Goes time-wise, the way I can see, I'm pretty sure. Ender's Game, Ender's in Exile, Speaker for the Dead, Xenocide, and Children of the Mine.
Corn? What?
Mine.
Children of the Corn.
So Ender in Exile.
Love
the next
that
one.
Movie.
Right. Ender's story.
Which is all about Ender.
Right. Yeah, the Exile's about...
His exile.
That works.
Evidently.
There's Shadow Saga.
Boy,
with...
you really can't say anything without giving away the ending of the
you
movie.
You can. Yeah. That's why.
Shadow Saga.
After the fight, you don't really say anything, but they basically told Ender he could they make him an admiral.
Yes.
And they
he
basically
could do whatever
said,
he wanted.
Go do whatever you want.
Yeah, Ender's like, I'm out.
And he pretty much, but there's a lot that happens that we're not going to give away. Well, just so you'll watch the movie.
Shadow Saga has Ender's Shadow, Shadow of the Hegemon, Shadow Puppets, Shadow of the Giant, and Shadow in Flight, and Shadows Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the
Formic stuff.
Which is like Earth Unaware, Earth on Fire.
And this is why, man, I think series should have War like a... five book max. Because if you draw it out too long, I get bored and
I
just get tired of it.
Well, Card tried to do it where you could read one series at a time and still get the gist of the story. And so he just, in the middle of the Ender Saga, he threw in Shadow.
Okay.
So that you could read the Shadow if you want, but I don't think you could really bypass it.
Well,
I guess you could.
I have a problem with that too, because... depending on which one I'd read first, which is Ender's Game, I'm going to get mad about the Shadows Game because Ender's not going to be the main
character.
He's not going to be so important. I'm going to be like, I don't give a crap about Bean. I've already grown attached to Ender. You know, I get attached to...
You get attached to Bean for a different reason, though.
Yeah.
I hate Bean.
I haven't read it.
I think
the way this movie ended, do you think there's a possibility of continuing the series, or do you think one shot?
No, to be honest with you, it kind of depends on how the movie did, and I think it did very well in the theater. I didn't actually look it up.
I think there'll probably be another series, but they're probably not going to be like make movies out of everything. I don't know. That's what
I
said.
I don't know. They'll probably follow the Ender's
pretty straight and narrow
Ender saga of it if they do.
Yeah, that was another weird thing.
I don't know. I haven't read any of the others, so I can't tell you. I don't know how long he was in exile before he comes back.
Yeah,
read the book.
Yeah, I haven't. That's why I said I haven't read the book,
so
I don't know.
And when he was at launch, you know, still in his yellow lines, the bully in that was in his team at the very end, which is weird because he wasn't in the book. He didn't make a...
I don't remember seeing him in the team at the end. Because it was just his dragon team.
He was in the dragon team.
In the movie.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was just because I was like, he wasn't in the dragon team in the
book.
Here's
the thing. Dang it,
I'm
going
to go back and watch it.
There's more people in the dragon team than actually help him at the end.
True.
Yeah. So they were using him just as a sort of filler to fill out the team.
And I thought it was
so
kind of like
even.
A symbolism too, like, oh, look at this bully. And
it might not have had anything to do with the fact that they met on as launchies. It was just they needed a character that they didn't have to recreate, pay another salary to, so that they could still get the storyline through.
True.
I just thought that was a bit weird.
So
it's possible that.
Right. You could.
But it was probably one of those.
Oh, and Mom.
It was only important at the beginning and not important.
Mom got so mad about the whole Andrew beating up that kid at the beginning and him dying and all that. She was like, what? That he didn't die or.
Bean actually holds a formal execution of somebody in the rafters at one point.
Whoa.
It happened.
Different book.
He went off on a tangent. But I would say anybody that...
Deep end?
Anybody that... I think this is one that you should have, that you should get. It's a popular enough book.
We're talking about the movie.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's a popular enough book that people would like the movie. If you'd let me finish my statement.
Even though the movie and the book really don't jive.
They jive enough that even if you've read the book, you'll like the movie. I think so. And if you haven't read the book, watch the movie, then read
the movie
book.
Because of the book.
That's some people that do that, true.
But I think it's one you should have. And probably, I don't know. I'm guessing that teenage high school. Otherwise, you may not get everything.
Movie?
In the movie.
I'm sorry. I'm like,
my
movie,
kids,
book, movie, book.
My kids liked it, except for when he got his monitor taken out.
Aww.
All my kids looked away for that.
Ouch.
It's just going to hurt? Not a bit.
Literally, guys, I would be the parent just to screw with my kids. I'd be the one that put in Saw. Like, watch this, guys. It's Bugs Bunny right here. Because I'm going to be an awesome parent.
No, she's not.
Value
we're good.
Awesome. No
but I say definitely, definitely have Pick in up. Your collection. Yeah, oh God, yeah.
No, I can
definitely.
See a younger kids enjoying it because the younger boys enjoying it for the fights and everything.
They probably could, but they wouldn't get the whole concept of the movie.
Well, yeah. So it's kind of like
the
Animal Farm.
There's
a concept in the movie that I don't think anybody could grasp, and that's zero-G fighting. Hand-to-hand combat.
How do
you wrap your head around that?
Let alone
Hollywood and pull it off.
They did a very good job in that, actually.
I liked how...
Me and April were talking about that. She pictured it as a white room. I pictured it as just a dark space so that you didn't know what was there.
But I like how Hollywood pulled it off.
Theirs was like a glass sphere.
With space out of it, yeah.
Space on the outside, but still there was a boundary.
I just pictured it as pure white because I thought it's endless, it's boundless, definition or anything, just like because of the brightness and the pureness of the white, like that's what I always thought. And I liked at the very ending when
don't give it away.
No. Very end scene with the fight.
Okay.
The fight. Okay. And I can't remember who turns around and tells him. Remember? Oh, maybe it was Bean. The door's down and Bean.
The enemy gate is down.
Yeah. And Ender took the computer he was looking at, the monitor, and shifted it all down with his hands. Like that was so cool.
Oh yeah, when they're doing the fight scene.
How he
the view of the battle by moving everything with his hands. Oh, I said
Jarvis.
Graphics were great.
Jarvis
awesome.
Is going to be real one of these days.
Don't
actually, there is a Bluetooth headset called Jarvis. Not advertising for them. I'm talking about the operating system in Iron Man. So.
All right.
Disney, Disney will clamp down on that pretty quick.
I think it's an acronym, JRVS.
Wait, I got this. What?
Oh, they skipped the I.
In the A.
J.
Jarvis.
No A.
V-A-S, I think.
R-V-S.
Or is it V-I-S?
I could think of something, but it's not appropriate.
By all means, say it then. This is the podcast for it.
What stopped us yet?
I don't know. This is too far.
It's because our mom is the one editing this.
We'd probably
this.
Get sued.
Oh, well, let's stop it there then. I think that'll wrap it up for Ender's Game.
Hi, this is Joe Field, the founder of Free Comic Book Day and Flying Colors Comics in Concord, California, and you are listening to the Comic Pop Library.
To the ground, but what'll I do without you? What'll I say without you to talk to? No one to serve if I leave the ball to you. Write the word that I miss the volume. What'll I say without you? Oh, I don't know what to do with myself now that I'm here and you're gone.
Back and we're ready for April to begin with Lisa Hannigan's album entitled Passenger.
Okie dokie. So that first song you just listened to is What'll I Do, which is it's my personal favorite on the album. And I think that song's probably the most upbeat this album ever gets. And it has good catchy beat in it.
It's my favorite
as well.
Makes
me groove. You know, but she is a mellower artist, and Lisa, she is
extremely mellow.
Yeah, and she is from Ireland, and she started out her career in 2001 until now. But she didn't start out as making her own music and doing the solo artist. She actually started out as a member of the Damien Rice Band, and she helped with various things in that band. And then in 2007, she started making her own music as a solo career, and she came out with her debut album. Seesaw, and then this is her second album. Passengers.
So 2000, her first album was when?
I don't know when it came out. It was her debut one, but she.
Oh, okay.
2007 was when she started her solo career. But before that, she had been in the band.
No, I thought you said her album came out. First one was in 2007.
No.
Until now, I was like 7 years. Holy cows!
Yeah.
This one came out 11. Last part of 11.
So, yeah, 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I really do enjoy her music. She reminds me her music is more lyrical than it is instrumental. Obviously, to me, it's obviously. I listen to her for the lyrics. I love that stuff, and it kind of reminds me of Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran still has a lot of the really cool instrumentals going on, and he's like a brainiac with all that. But his lyrics are the best part, and to me, that's what the music is about. It's about the lyrics more than it is about the song or the instrumentals and everything. And she kind of reminded me of like a really light Mumford & Sons kind of music. And maybe
I don't know.
And it's not as heavy, it's not bass, it's not all that. It gives me kind of the same feel of it. Not as much.
It
but
is a laid
bit.
Back, relaxed groove, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, when I first listened to it, I thought she was an American artist. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Like no accent or what gave you that? No,
I just thought in my head when she gave me the album and said, here you go. And I thought, okay, well, we'll listen to it. And for some reason, I just pictured an American person singing.
Like New Orleans or just Blues
American
Club?
In general.
Just America.
American in general.
Just
and when
America.
I listened to it, I was like, man, this is slow. I mean, it is slow song except for What Do I Do About It? It picks up a little bit. And I was like, you know, you got to be in the right mood for this. You got to.
Cigar and brandy.
Oh, God. And then when she commented that, no, she's from Ireland. Then I re-listened to the music, and I can hear some of the lilts in her voice when she was singing. It's like, okay, I can hear the lilts now. And because of Ireland, they do have more of a, like you said, a emotional ties to their music and want to tell a story more times than not with their lyrics. So I was like, okay, it makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah. And with mentioning she is from Ireland, her website or... Okay. Dad's coughing. He's dying. We'll wait for him to die. We'll bury him. We'll get it. Keep going.
Suck that lung back
in. Yeah. And speaking of Lisa Hannigan being from Ireland and everything, her website is Lisa Hannigan, Hannigan, H-A-N-N, like narcotics, I-G-A-N, narcotics again. But it works. And it's going to be .ie instead of .com. It's going to be .ie for... because that's the Ireland websites have a .ie.
Okay.
Just like how in the UK it's .co.uk. Yeah. Okay. Just in case you do want to go and figure her out. And she is multi-talented. She's a singer and a songwriter and a she plays instruments as well. So she does a lot of her stuff and is organic and all that, which I think is really cool. I appreciate.
And you do hear the different instruments within her songs as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can tell it's... And I think they're actual instruments. I think sometimes you can tell when they're keyboard. To me, the keyboard sounds more tinny.
Sorry, you just said, I think they are actual instruments, and that just kind of hit me weird.
Well, they're all instruments.
Even a keyboard is considered an instrument, but...
I don't know if this is a fake triangle or not.
It's not a keyboard playing the trumpet sound.
Synthesized?
Yeah. Synthesized.
Okay.
So. Is this triangle real? What?
Yes, it is. Oh.
No, it's just me. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, gosh. Stop. Oh, God. Stop. We're past
Sorry,
that.
I had to do it.
Oh. I hate you, Chris, because now the song is in my head.
I think my one problem with it really is that with it being such a lyrical music, and I really enjoy the lyrics of songs, you know. I mean, it got a bit muddled a lot, and it was hard to understand words and everything because she was so soft and kind of muddled together. Because I remember, I think it was for this last song that we're gonna play, which is gonna be called Little Bird. It's another one of my favorites because of the lyrics, and I had to turn down the bass and the middle, whatever, and I had to turn her up because I couldn't understand it. I had to turn everything but her voice up or down and turn up the volume because I couldn't
understand the words.
And some
artists are like that. Some of them have the lighter voices where sometimes the instruments do tend to overpower at times. And I was in there last, so the bass was up a little bit higher than normal too, so I like more bass.
No, I had turned the bass up.
Oh, was you
turn it up to 11.
I turned the bass up all the
way. Mine's on 12.
But I have to turn it down when Mom's in the car because she has old ears.
I was gonna go into the whole. Well, why don't you just make 10 louder? Because ours go to 11.
It was
sorry.
No, it was.
April doesn't get that reference.
It was funny because we were planning on going to the movies, but we didn't because there's nothing really we wanted to watch. But we thought about going
Airheads. I was trying to remember the name.
Oh my god!
What is it?
Trying to tell a story.
This is Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap.
Story time.
Okay.
Go on. Thanks. And I had just been to the movies the night before, so I was trying to tell him, like, there's nothing you want to watch. The only thing remotely interesting might be 300, because that's what I went and watched. It was all right, yeah. I took a couple naps, but I got the gist of the movie. I told her, I'm like, Mom, honestly, 300 is really the only interesting one out there, and I don't want you to see that because you have little eyes. Like, that's what I told her. And no, and she told me, like, I've seen the first 300 movie. I'm like, I don't care. You'll always have little eyes to me.
So we have old ears and little eyes.
Mom does. She's like a little chihuahua.
You realize your mom edits these, right?
Yeah.
Well, to get
she
back,
lives
to,
with
back,
me.
Back to the music. Richard sent me, five, six YouTube links?
Like five.
Yeah,
something like that. And I listened to them. I don't know what album they were on.
This
you know,
one,
is it off this one?
Yeah.
She
listened to them, and I agree. They're very mellow. She's kind of soft in a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Colorado,
she's kind of airy.
Huh?
Yeah.
If you're in Colorado or Washington, instead of cigars. Hey.
I got the reference now, man. Sorry.
You know what? I bet you Denver has the coolest blue bars.
Oh man,
blues bars.
I bet you.
Blues is bars.
She is a very very mellow, and even the music itself.
Yeah,
and find them just by walking
her,
down the street.
And I think
I smell Doritos.
The stuff.
Oh man, tangent there. Woo!
The stuff on Seesaw, I haven't listened to Seesaw exclusively, but I've listened to songs from Seesaw, because that's how I found her. I listened to some Seesaw songs.
Seesaw songs. Five times, real fast.
Oh my gosh.
There's two titles right there. And I Smell Doritos and Seesaw Thongs.
Seesaw Thongs.
There's your title.
And I don't remember that music. I'm trying to do a review, guys. You're just throwing things.
Sorry, go ahead, April. We're done.
I didn't get the mellowness as much from those songs as I did from this album.
Was your first one kind of more upbeat?
It was not upbeat, but it was lighter. It was airier. So even if it was a slower tempo, you still kind of moved with it a bit and still like, it was still bouncy. I'm trying to describe music in my
without being hearing it. I kind of get what you're saying, but not.
I know, because the way I describe music is completely retarded if you don't like understand my brain, which is no one. So,
but this one, some of the titles that were on the album, go through some of those real quick. This one title is what got me. It's kind of a morbid title. Safe Travels, Don't Die. I'm like, really?
She knows that people that are listening to this in their vehicles are about to doze off.
Oh, and her in general, to me, instead of putting her as a pop, because this album is the way it is, it almost reminded me of country.
I'm not putting this in pop.
It almost reminded me of a country album.
This with the Justin Bieber?
I'm sure most people are trying to get that pop audience. They want to be popular. That's the main reason. And to me, this felt more of a country feel to of it.
Like, I see more of a folk country. That's why...
Folk country. Okay, I agree with that. I wasn't going to put it in country.
It's not Tim McGraw country.
It's not American country.
It's not.
There's a difference.
Because there's a difference between Mumford & Sons type of country or Tim McGraw, Brad Paisley, all that.
I'll agree with that. There you go. Thank you.
Happy medium. I got those genres for you.
the sub genre of country music of. Sorry.
Heck, if you want to go into genres, there's so many subs for everything.
I know. Jeez. It drives me nuts. I grew up at that time when it was country music, but, rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's what you had.
I like having sub genres because just like country doesn't fit. Pop doesn't, nothing fits. I like having that word. That's why there's
been more eclectic
it
music.
It feels better.
To me, pop and country are the general terms, and you go down like folk country.
Well, you could say it's all eclectic.
Yeah. True.
shoot that back, Logan.
No. Okay. I'm a music major. That's the thing. I had my music. We were talking about this music theory. It's like, how would you classify this era of music?
And what era?
One of them was eclectic because we explore into all kinds of music. During my theory class, there were people coming out with music of Gregorian chant, which is one of the first forms of written music. So it was like you had everything all in one squished time.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would Bohemian Rhapsody be?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Popular.
Kind of like a chant, isn't that, though?
That's the other thing. Popular music. No, chant is...
Like the monks.
Sorry, I was reading off my head. I was. You said chant, and the first thing that popped in my head was, all righty then.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There's no set rhythm.
Aren't
it's just spoken word.
Like what the monks did? The Gregorian stuff.
Okay.
Right. It's all vocal. There's no rhythm,
which I think sounds pretty awesome.
Well, that's what I said. It's I don't know, classify your music where, but would you say folk?
I would put it in the folk. Country. Yeah, I would put her close to Mumford & Sons personally.
So what's
she's
the next?
Not the same, but
well, this one Bluegrass April kind of hit this a little bit, and the song that I noticed it the most on was "Oh Sleep," where she goes up into such a high register and you can barely understand her, but it's a duet with a man and he's singing in a lower register, and I'm wondering if they did that purposely so people would get the lyrics because she's so high up there that you just can't. It's more about the notes than the lyrics because it's so hard to pronounce the lyrics when you get that high.
Is she detailing the lower end?
I don't know how to describe it. I mean, they're both singing the same lyrics.
Do they blend well?
Yeah, I think they sound pretty good.
Pretty good. But, so the men's voice is more front and center because she's so high up there.
Right. The lower they sing, the more muddy the words. Like,
no, he was in his middle range.
Was it baritone or bass?
Baritone.
Baritone or tenor.
Oh, okay. Well, you should be able. Tenor? Tenor's pretty high.
No.
I sing tenor.
I would call him a baritone.
Baritone?
I would put him
as a baritone. I sing tenor.
I sing bass. What?
Guess what?
I sing bass.
What?
Yeah, right, you do.
Guess what bass, I sing?
Bass soprano.
Guess what I get to sing?
Solo.
Amazing Grace?
Bass.
Birthday song. Okay.
Bass baritone. I can hit some of the lower range of tenor, but not too high.
Though. That's all. Yeah.
Oh,
pretty low.
Radagast in The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
I could swear he could do like 50 octaves. Because when he's saying the chant to get rid of the poison or whatever from the hedgehog.
Yeah.
He does. He
Sonic's in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He talks to Gandalf in a high register, but then when he sings that, I don't know if they mixed that sound for the movie or if he actually has that.
Well, she's got.
But his voice is so raspy.
What?
That's why you wouldn't be singing.
Are you calling me a man?
No, not you. I said she.
Lisa.
Oh,
Lisa.
Well, I thought
she
you
has
I thought you were pointing
a pretty
I think she's
high,
got a good
pretty good range.
Yeah.
She can get up there.
I want to point out one of her songs is Trafe. Can't talk here. It's true. One of her songs is called Safe Travels Don't Die.
Right.
Okay. And when Dad, I was driving, so Dad was telling me the names as they were coming on. And I asked him, is there a comma between Safe Travels and Don't Die? Because depending on that comma depends, because I'm a grammar Nazi and I'm an English nerd. So if it depends on, is it Safe Travels, Don't Die, Don't Die on
no,
the
it's Safe Travels, Don't Die.
Well, no, because it's either Safe Travels... Don't die, like have
safe
a travels,
safe travels. Don't like, die.
I'm trying to explain
no,
something.
It's like Yoda. Safe travels. Don't die.
Well, because it makes a difference on how you would, how I would hear
crossed.
The song. Because it's either safe travels. Don't die without the comma, which means the travels never die, or safe travels, comma, don't die means have a safe trip.
Don't
obviously
crash.
Don't
and burn.
Die. Yeah. And then she put don't die in parentheses, which is weird.
I don't know.
Don't do that. Don't do. Because, yeah, Dad was like, it's safe travels, comma, don't die in parentheses. I was like, parentheses?
Hmm?
This ain't math class.
It's like two different, it's the same song, but how would you say that? Maybe there was a translation error.
Translation from English to English?
From artist to producer
of the album cover. Maybe
Native Irelands don't speak English, do they?
Yeah, they do.
They speak Icelandic.
They speak English. What?
No.
No?
No.
If you want to get technical, it is English.
It's British English.
Yeah.
Don't get it mixed up with Scott.
No, it's English.
Scott is English,
Okay, so Ireland does have their own language.
Icelandic.
But it's
Northern
Ireland. If you're doing Ireland, the true language is Celtic.
Yeah.
And Gaelic.
That's,
yeah,
what,
that,
Celtic.
That's what I was thinking of.
But,
no. Not Iceland.
But when when England Icelandic came over and everything, Celtic. It became like a dying language, kind of. And it's still around, and there are probably some older Irishmen
that
speak
Vikings
it. But
Vikings spoke Celtic?
They were more Norwegian, weren't they?
More northern.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Baltics.
I was thinking that was what they were.
They were with the Baltics and all that. But yeah, so it's still around, but it's not the major one. English is the major language there.
The singer Inya, she'll sometimes sing in the Gaelic dialect.
I can't tell if Inya...
Gaelic, there's a different word. Celtic, Gaelic, English.
Well, I always think of Gaelic. But yeah, I don't, honestly...
That's what language they speak.
we really got to keep on track.
Honestly, I can't tell if I like Inya or if she annoys me to no end.
Again, she's one you have to be in the right mood for.
Yeah, because I'm usually not...
Cigar.
So this is
maybe
a great review on Inya now.
No, but on that, you said we kind of determined the genre. Age? Any particular?
On it, don't give it to a little kid. Don't give it to a middle schooler. I've got to do my crossouts before I can see what remains, you know. Older teenagers to adults. Like college to adults. Maybe not even high school.
You don't think many high schools would like it? Or just wouldn't? Because it's too mellow?
Maybe because it's... No, they don't.
Hey, middle schools are smoking it too.
Hey,
wasn't even my thought.
Hey, no.
You had to open your mouth.
I've seen some grade schoolers. You don't even know.
Where did you get that Celtic dialect?
God help us.
Oh, God.
I was even trying to be serious, and Chris has to take it way out to left field.
No.
Payback's a bitch, ain't it?
That was good. I admit, that was good, Chris.
With the stereotypical norm and all the brainwashing going on and all that, I'm going to say this is not the type of music.
Because it's high not that pop. Not
it's not speed.
It's not going to grab their normal attention. It's not fast enough. Yeah, we're such a fast, you know, catch the eye. It's not shiny or anything.
Okay. How much
it's for someone
one?
Who has to appreciate music a little bit.
You know? That one, yeah. I think it was $10.
$10. Is it available in the United States? It's not an import.
It is available here in the U.S.
You can get it off of Amazon.
That's why me and Mom get in such grumps. Because she doesn't, listen to music. And she doesn't watch movies. Like, I'm like, Mom, you got to get past the picture. Read in between the pixels.
And the cover on it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, the cover of it's not even a grabber.
It's cool. It's
a map.
Yeah,
it's neat.
It's a map, like a night
but
map.
But it's not going to grab
the city lights or the outlines.
Yep.
I mean, it's a
fellow
cover, too. I mean, it's not going to jump out on a stand and grab a teenager's attention by any means.
But somebody that might like that slower pit, you know, here, check these people out.
That's why I say college, because college
this person
is when they kind of go out and like actually tried different stuff more. And like
face palm.
Figure stuff out.
Yeah, people palm person. Check her out is what I mean.
People palm person.
That's what I said.
There's
I
another
like,
title right there.
Person,
yes, what?
Yeah, I screwed that statement all up. Let me back up.
No, don't.
No, I think
just
we're
move
good.
On.
I did. I got tongue tied. All right, we're good with that.
And with that, I think we're pretty much wrapping up for Lisa Hannigan.
Yep.
If you're a larger library, you might want to consider it a little bit lower. Definitely look at it before you purchase. Make sure you know your audience and your patrons.
They're on YouTube.
Yeah, you can listen to YouTube and check it out beforehand. And we did get a few more comments from Nathan on our Facebook account. He's, like I said, become a regular contributor. We enjoy other people commenting. We'll mention them here on air as well when we're recording. But some of the stuff I've put up with the webpage, this is just some pop culture stuff in general, but it's kind of interesting. We kind of looked at the Lego sets that's being proposed to Lego from fans, and one of them was a Robotech design, and he thought it would be cool if they could get Transformers too. And as far as I remember, Transformers is with Hasbro still, and that would be the Creo line, which is very similar to the Legos, but that's what Hasbro's is.
I seem to remember seeing Transformer type Lego things, but I can't remember what they were.
They were Creos.
Creos?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he commented about, we had a post for the Exploration Place, and he wanted to know what our connection was there. And we've had a relationship with them. We don't post everything from them. It's just whenever they have something, and we put it up there for them.
Something cool.
It's just something. They were the first ones to recognize us as an official media outlet, and this is just something to do for them as a thank you. Plus, it's, you know, when they have exhibits that are kind of neat, we want to spotlight those so people know about them and can go to them as well. He talked about, well, if we're looking for sponsors, he gave a couple of different businesses that might be interested. So thank you for that, Nathan. We might look into that here in the near future. We have to talk about it and see how we want the direction of the podcast to go. And let's see, the last thing. Oh, and this is one I thought Matt would enjoy talking about. And I think April's seen it as well. But
he's got
the
sourpuss face.
The Jimmy Kimmel Show, quite a while ago now, by the time of this recording it's out, showed the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy.
And
wondering how we thought about that. And I thought it looked cool myself. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Did I show you that, Chris? Did I show you the trailer?
Oh, was that the one we were discussing?
Because I told...
The one with the record.
It looks like such a spoof
movie.
I told Richard
one of the characters in there is at the end of Thor, the Dark World.
The Collector.
He is in that, and we're wondering if this wasn't a prequel to the Thors.
This looks like such a spoof movie.
Or a spinoff of
that Thor
universe. And I don't know enough about it to...
Or it's the beginning of the build-up for the third Avengers movie.
It could be that, too.
Because they did, in the first Avengers movie, they did show Thanos, which is
right,
a space-born villain.
Your whiteboard says GIMP.
Is that what you were laughing at? Where does it say GIMP?
Over there in my list.
You want a GIMP?
Matt, for look your that office. Way. In black.
Test PC.
Oh,
GIMP is a free open source Photoshop, if you will.
I was like, what? Oh, that's PC. Yeah. So, okay.
Back to the
That's
podcast.
Why she was laughing. I was like, what are you laughing about?
Yeah, back to the podcast.
I was lost.
To me, it looks like
it's... I guess taken outside of context, that would be funny.
Yeah, yes. But, yeah, I said I don't know enough about that, and I couldn't find a whole lot on it.
Guardians of the Galaxy is one of those titles that's not a big title within the Marvel Universe, but it's a quirky title that a lot of different people enjoy. And it looks like they're going to take the quirkiness into the movie. It's going to be...
Oh, it looks like it'd be funny.
Looks like it's going to be the comedy adventure, or adventure comedy. Flip-flop might be a little bit more adventure than comedy, but it's going to have the comedy mixed in with it.
It looked
good. Quite a good deal. And, of course, my favorite characters, and a lot of people think if they can do it right and get the right voice, is going to be the Rocket Raccoon character. And
it looks good.
Looks hilarious.
Chris is going, huh?
Chris has a blank look on his face.
It looks good. I'm kind of curious how that one will be, and we'll kind of that'll be one we'll be watching for that we'll probably do a review of when it,
it looks funny.
Eventually hits it out.
Oh, I got Lion King stuck in my head. Circle of Life.
And one of the things with the reviews with the books and movies and everything that we do, we're going to be doing a lot more mini pops, so they might have some reviews hitting in between the episodes, because we want to do a lot more stuff for everybody out there and get a lot more content out for you, and hopefully the librarians will be able to use the content to make a decision whether they want to purchase or not, or at least check something out before they purchase. If you want to make a comment like Nathan did, or like Greg in the past, send us an email. We have a Facebook. It's Comic Pop Library. And look that up on Facebook, and you can like us and get our feeds and get updates when we do episodes, when they come out. Comment on there. It's an open source, so you can, and I'll comment back. If I don't know the answer, I might get a hold of one of the other guys and see if they know what's going on. Also, email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Just give us suggestions, comments, feedback of any type, whether it's negative, positive.
Cookies.
It would be appreciated. Uh-oh, Logan's
back. He wants to say bye.
But we're having fun here, guys. We hope everybody's having fun out there. We'll see everybody on the next time around.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Chris.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.